Greetings of love to those that are present here this morning. It's good to see you all here. Just thinking this morning as I was looking across the assembly and just looking at various people present and just thinking about what needs might be in this assembly this morning. And just thought of a few. Some of it's already been mentioned. Some are dealing with the loss of loved ones or a loved one specifically, and maybe looking at some health journey beyond that with other loved ones. Just thinking about those that are here this morning that maybe you're on an emotional journey of some kind. You know, life is full of good times and then difficult times, and I sense that there's that present this morning as well. Health needs and just spiritual needs that are on our hearts and minds, things we care about, people that are dear to us. And then I was thinking about maybe the spiritual challenges some of us are facing, just battling with challenges and temptations or whatever that might be. And trying to find a path forward in life. Which way should we go? As the song says, which way should I take? Cries a voice in the night. I'm a pilgrim, aweary and spent is my light. And I look for a palace that rests on a hill. But between us a stream lies, sullen and still. And then it says, near thee, my son, is the your wayside cross, like a gray friar crowd and lichens and moss. And its crossbeam will point to the bright golden day that bridges the waters. And I don't have all the words there, but it's just come to my mind just now. The idea that there is a way. Maybe some of your loved ones aren't where you are this morning. You wonder how it's going where they are. And there's a lot. Just looking across the assembly this morning, I just see that. And thinking about those things, and we never know on a Sunday morning who will be present, who won't be. But I just want everyone to know that you're welcome to be here. It's good to have you here. And may God speak to us through His Word. I'd ask you to open the Bible in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and I'm wanting to read verses 1 through 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Yesterday I met somebody, and in conversation I was made mindful of this little saying. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. And I like to just keep that as a little bit of a motto in the background this morning. But this morning the title is Meeting Jesus at the House of Mercy. Meeting Jesus at the House of Mercy. The reason I have it that title is because Bethesda means the House of Mercy. That's what the meaning is. And we could go to the historical record and we could think about where this pool was and how it was and all of the implications of that. But I just want us to know that if every saint has a past and every sinner has a future, we've got to get somehow, some way, we got to get ourselves to the House of Mercy. And I would just trust that this morning in this assembly that it would be that kind of an atmosphere here. That there would be in the assembly of the saints and the study of the word and the singing of the hymns. I was just really blessed with the singing again this morning. It just thrills my heart to hear that and participate in that. I would trust that someone this morning could find a house of mercy here. Because that's what church life is about, my dear friends. Because every sinner has a future. And that future can be one of two, looking further down the road. It can be heaven or it could be hell. And yet, let us never forget that every saint has a past. Someone said it this way, although I am not what I should be, I thank God that I'm not what I used to be. In other words, every saint has a past. And we're still working on it. We strive to perfection. And Apostle Paul said it, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, but he hadn't attained yet. And yet he remembered his past. He knew what his past was when he persecuted the church of God. And maybe none of us did that, but every one of us who is a saint today has a past. And every one of us who is a sinner today has a future. And we can have something to do with that. But a lot changes when we get to the House of Mercy, my friends. A lot changes. It talks about the condition of the people that were on these five porches here. People that were blind. People that were halt. Giving the idea that they could not walk. Paralyzed or something of that nature. Withered. Have you ever seen someone with a withered hand? Someone with cerebral palsy or something of that nature. And they were waiting for something. The reason they were here at this location was that there was, at certain times, an angel would go down in and stir the water of the pool. And this is a miraculous thing. And whenever the angel did that, the first person that touched the water after that was cured of whatever disease he had. And that, to me, is so fascinating. And if there were such a place today, it would be well attended. And can you imagine the scrabbling, the movement, the rapid energy that was exerted for people to get there, to touch the water first, to be made. And when you start thinking about it, you read about people with cancer diagnosis or this crippling disease or this or that. and the kinds of things that people deal with in our generation and have through the periods of time in the past. And sometimes a person just wishes for that moment whenever something could change in their life. But this isn't only physical stuff. Sometimes this is challenges, an emotional journey that just doesn't seem to end, or a physical need that just doesn't go away, or a spiritual battle that just seems like it's non-ending. And this one man here had been in this condition for 38 years. And evidently, I don't know where he spent his time, if it was only here. There's some of this story that kind of remains in obscurity, but it seems like somebody cared enough about him to make sure that he was there. But they didn't make sure that he got to the water ahead of the rest. And how long was it that he lived in this condition? It says it was 38 years. And I can hardly imagine a person that's lived, say if I would, 17 years of age, would have been stricken with a condition like this and still have it till now. If at 17, I would have gotten it, because that's the way the math works out in my own experience. So take 38 years. If you're 38 years old, imagine living your whole life with a given condition that you couldn't walk, that you couldn't get there. You couldn't do things that other people could do. And Jesus saw him lie. Jesus saw that condition. And Jesus sees yours this morning. He knows how long it's been since you've been in the condition you're in. He knows where I'm at this morning in my own journey. Jesus sees it. He knows it. And Jesus knew that this man had been here a long time in that case. And he knows exactly what your case is today. And he asked him the simple question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Would you like a change in your life? Would you like to be healed? The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man." Maybe you feel like that this morning. I don't have anybody to help me out. No one understands the exact intensity, the seriousness of the situation. No one understands it. But I want us to know this morning there's at least one that can understand it. Never forget it, my friends. There's at least one. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I'm just amazed as I get around and have viewed certain situations, the work of an advocate. What is an advocate? An advocate is a lawyer. An advocate is a person who will stand beside someone in a moment of trial as they face the courts of the land when they've broken the laws or whatever the case might be. And they stand there beside the client that they're trying to help. And they identify with that person. And they've been there, done that. One who was, in Jesus' case, one who was tempted in all points like as we are, who knows the humanity of man. I was meditating again on Psalm 103 just last week, and it says there that about the one who is kind and compassionate and can take our sins as far as the east is from the west, and then it says that he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. And when we think about a Father God that is in that condition, that knows our frame and remembers that we're dust and remembers that our feeble condition as humans, and he knows our physical weaknesses, he knows our spiritual weaknesses, he knows our emotional weaknesses, and yet he's right there. Just like the lawyer stands beside a client who has done something that he should not have done, or she. You see that happen. If you ever watch it, if you ever sit back and watch how that appears, to have a lawyer standing right beside before the judge, it's an amazing picture. And that's the way it is, can be with Jesus in our own lives. He can be right there with us. And that's what Jesus asked his fellow. He says, "Well, you'd like to be healed of your problem." And then the man, as I already indicated, said, "I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down." And it's one thing to think about this happening a time or three, but think about it happening for years upon it and years on end. When someone else gets there first, imagine the scun up elbows. Imagine the dragging of across a dirty floor. I doubt it was the most clean place in the world. I tend to doubt it. And the roughness and trying to get there, and then somebody else gets there first. He says, I have no man. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. There's power when Jesus speaks. When Jesus comes, there's a change. Has Jesus come to your life? Is there a change in your life? Can you believe that this morning? It says, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. It's a sad thing that the religious rulers couldn't accept this. They didn't like it that he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. But my dear friends, when people come to the house of God, when Jesus comes around, it doesn't matter what day it is. When Jesus comes, things can change. When we realize we have an advocate with the Father, a Parakletos, I think it is in Greek, the Spanish is Paracleto. The one who will stand beside you through the thick and thin, through the good times and the bad times, the one who has all power given unto him in heaven and on earth, who has given us the ability to stand and do what he wants us to do. The one who can make us well again. The Jews therefore said unto him that it was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. He didn't know who it was. And Jesus had gotten away from that place because there was a multitude being there, and he just didn't want the publicity. He just moved on and didn't stay there. But this morning, I want us to know that there's grace available. If you studied in the fine print of your Sunday school lesson, back in some of the comments, it talked about God's grace. And my dear friends, this morning, one of the big things that happens, we need to have happen in our lives, is we need to have an evidence of the grace of God somehow. In our need, in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our difficulty, whatever that is, we need to know that God is around. We need to know that there's grace available. We need to know that there's mercy at the house of mercy. We need to know that. We need to feel that. And what is grace? And there's many different definitions for grace. I think the one that was given in the book was divine favor, unconditional favor. And then it says something about divine influence in our heart, God's sunbeams of grace, as it were, shining into our heart. And then what does that produce in my life? And its response in my life, something to that effect. And grace is also divine enablement. You know, many people read things in God's word and they don't know how to get it done. Being patient toward all men. Seriously? Yes. Be patient toward all men. It's not an easy road. It's not just peaches and cream, like they say, to have patience toward all men, to forgive those who trespass against us. It is not an easy road. It is not, it just doesn't come out of us naturally. It takes grace to do that. The idea of living in victory, the idea of controlling our anger, it doesn't come just because we want it to. It comes because God's grace makes it available. His grace is sufficient. And I was impressed with that as I was thinking about God's grace and his power and how it's made perfect in weakness. And this is something that just happened. Just happened. And I want to tell this little story because to me it's once again a proof. You ask it that if the gospel does anything in 2025. And sometimes God brings people to very dire situations so that his power can be made manifest. This just happened about 2 weeks ago. So we have a friend that's an instruction class at the chapel congregation. He's a Spanish speaker. We visited with him several times. He actually went with me the last time I went to Light of Truth to have a little bit of fellowship with some other Spanish speakers. And we knew, we had suspicions for a long time that this fellow was not well. He skipped church sometimes, although he was faithful in his attendance as much as he could be, but he was having challenges and we knew it. Sometimes he did, and it just seemed like he was very quiet, very obscure as to what's going on, what the problem is. Well, we don't know. And he got worse, and he tried to work as hard as he could, and I know some of his situation there, but he ended up in the hospital. He ended up in Phoenixville Hospital, and they soon saw that the condition is bad enough when they found cancer in his one kidney, and that it spread to his spleen. They found that out, I think, down at TJ, Thomas Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia. They realized that this is worse. And say Wednesday, a week and a half ago, they removed his one kidney and his spleen because that's where the cancer was. Thursday evening, I was down there to see him last Thursday night. But before his operation, it was a Saturday, before his operation, Saturday 2 weeks ago. And he'd been in the hospital on the 7th floor of the TJ Hospital, okay? So you imagine, how did a person get to that location? And because of the bed that he was sleeping in, or staying at, where the nurses were tending him, and the medical staff was looking, monitoring his condition, he had a roommate, another man. And this man never said these words. He never said what happened, except that whenever Brother Dave Groff, who some of you know, went to visit my friend Demas in the hospital, he heard some conversation on that side of the curtain. Evidently another Spanish speaker, evidently another person who maybe was more comfortable speaking Spanish than English. And the man was just so happy because he had just given his heart to Christ, just that day or something. He had just given his heart to the Lord. How did that happen? And Brother Demas is so quiet and so calm and so humble. We have a strong feeling that his testimony to that man is what brought him to the Lord. And yet Demas would never say so. The next day, the man's wife comes in to see her husband, the one in the other part of the room. And she sees that there's a difference in her husband. And she said, I need this too. Whatever he has, I need. Whatever he has, I need. And she gave her heart to the Lord as well. She made an initiation in the Christian life, and by how? How does that happen? It happens because the grace of God can be manifested in a person's life, and his strength is made perfect in weakness. And even though it required that you go to the 7th floor of a given hospital in such a place to get there, God can use you there to do something for somebody else. And that to me is the power of the gospel in real time, my friends. And what about you? Remember this morning that every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. And we can meet Jesus at the house of mercy. The Holy Spirit is still working in lives of sinners, calling them to repentance, at the same time guiding believers into all truth, convicting the hearts of men, reviving those who need it through the power of the living word. You know, when God's word does things, God's word is made to do things in your life and mine, and it can guide the sinner out of the darkest pits of ungodliness and vices, and it can bring them to the glorious light of the people of God. It can make a change. Is God that real in your life this morning? What is God doing? What has he done? Have you been reading his word? Have you been thinking about it? Has it been part of your life? Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that there's mercy with God? A God who is bounteous in mercy. The mercy of God, not giving us the punishment that we rightfully deserve, but rather giving us grace, giving us divine enablement to complete his commands, as we've already indicated this morning. And yet God's grace is wants to reach us in our need. Maybe you feel this morning, well, you don't understand my situation. My life is this and this and this. But are you looking for help this morning? Do you feel a need in your heart this morning? Is your hand, as it were, in a hole looking for help to get out? And I'm here to tell you, if I didn't say it before, that God's grace is that hand which reaches down from high heaven to the hand of a person that's in trouble with his hand stretched out. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If I withdraw myself from thee, ah, whither shall I go? Are you looking for that help this morning in your life? Do you believe it? How many victims today are in a problem that they can't get out of? And by scrabbling around in your own strength, just like this man for 38 years tried to get to the water's edge and touch that water to be healed of his sickness. How many people today are looking for answers? They're going to Alcoholics Anonymous. They're going to this counsel program or that one over there trying to find help. Whenever the answer comes from God himself and the working of Jesus Christ in their life. The washing of water by the renewing of the Holy Ghost that comes by the working of God and his Spirit in our lives. It convicts men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, my dear friends, this morning that can be a reality in your life and mine. Repentance. Repentance is a huge thing, but before we repent, we must first of all see our condition. This man said, "Sir, I have no man. You see how I am right here." And you must admit this morning, if you want to find help for your need, you must admit where you're at. Just say it as it is. Be honest with it. Be honest about it. Just say, "This is it. It's a mess. I don't know what to do." And then you must say it. Just put it out on the table. Remember Brother Luke saying several times, as he's talked to people in challenging times, he said, "I doubt that there is an evangelist or a minister anywhere that hasn't heard at least some kind of sin being confessed and put out in the open. Just say what it is and then repent of it. Whoso confesseth his sin shall have mercy, but whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy." And I would trust that even this morning's hour, there would be a house of mercy, as I've already indicated this morning, my dear friends. Do you need mercy this morning? Do you need that grace of God to do a work in your life? And Jesus said, "It's here. Here's your answer." Repentance, turning away from sin, turning away from that which is not good. Taking God's way instead of my way. Turning my face toward the light instead of toward the darkness. A U-turn, a legal U-turn in the kingdom of God, praise his name. A repentance is a legal U-turn. Turning away from the highway to hell and walking the pathway to heaven. The straight and narrow way. The way that is not easy for the flesh, but possible by the grace of God and the help of the Almighty in our lives. Jesus came back to this man after a while, and he said, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." I would like to ask us this morning, what would be worse than being 38 years in this kind of condition? And I've already tried to describe it in brief. What would be worse than that? Well, worse than that is dying and going to hell forever. That's a lot worse. What would be worse than some of the things that you've observed in people's lives. What would be worse? Well, worse is that they would not have help, that they would, no one would care, that they would just never find a resolution to their need. That would be a lot worse. Do you believe this morning that Jesus is the only hope, the only remedy? Are you willing to look to him for help? Only he can take away the sin in our lives and mend broken hearts and relationships. And this morning, we need to obey Jesus by faith. God has given every seeking soul, every soul that's in trouble, every soul that's in need, God has given every one of them enough faith to take that first step. And then if you take the first step, he'll lead you to the second step, and the third step, and the fourth step, and the fifth step, and the sixth step, until you reach his presence. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me by beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he's the one that leads you through life. He gives you faith to make the first step, and as we already indicated, through the steps of life. But you know what? To get to heaven, you just continue to follow the good shepherd. And when he gets to his house, you will get there too. And in the house of the Lord, I will dwell all the days of my life. Oh, my friends, this morning, this can be real in your heart and mine. And then your life can be a testimony of what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Do you believe in that this morning? Do you believe it this morning? I just want to once again lift up Jesus, the one who was slain on Calvary's cross that we thought about, some of us at least, through the Good Friday and Easter story again, reliving some of that and thinking about that and speaking about that recently. Want us to remember this morning that a man can enter heaven without health. A man can enter heaven without riches. He can enter heaven without fame. He can enter heaven without education. He can enter heaven without friends, but we will never get to heaven without Christ. As you think about your life this morning, how is it? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Or are there problems in the way? Is there sin in your life that needs to be dealt with? Just like to pause for a word of prayer.